The readings today are from Psalms 126 to 128, and you can find it on the page 623 in the Church Bible. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, "The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Blessed are all those are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots round your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel."
Please have that passage in the Bible open in front of you. And let's once again bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your wonderful word. Lord, we are privileged to have it in our own language. And Lord, it is a light to our feet, a lamp to our path. And Father, we just pray that you would help us, Lord. We recognize that left to ourselves, we are dark, we are blind. And Lord, the preacher can have got some message together but can fall flat without, O Lord, the anointing of your Spirit and your help. Father, so we just pray, please help us. Lord, as we come to your word, bless us now, speaking to the hearts, O Lord, of those who are married and those who are not here. Father, have a word for us all, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So this section is part of what are called the Psalms of Ascent. And these psalms were sung, it seems, by pilgrims going up to the Jerusalem Temple, the Old Testament house of God, to worship at one of the feasts. And of course, the house of God becomes our house too, through Christ. "In my Father's house are many rooms," said Jesus. "I go there to prepare a place for you. And in New Testament terms, God's dwelling place, therefore, is not just the church, it's not just our bodies, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, but of course, God's dwelling place is heaven, ultimately heaven, and we are pilgrims too. We're on our way to be with the Father, to be with Christ in our Father's house forevermore. So that's the kind of way into to these Psalms of Ascent. Now, parallel with that vision of our ultimate home with God, Psalm 128 speaks about the home, the house of a godly man and his family. They're feasting at the table, verse 3. So as the pilgrims progress towards the house of God to feast with him there, they reflect, it seems, in an idealized way on the blessing that God has brought to their homes, the blessing of God upon the home of a godly man. And that, in a sense, is a kind of a foretaste now of of the home, the great home in heaven. That seems to be the kind of idea that's woven in to these psalms. That's how it works. But though each psalm can be taken in isolation, the great man Alec Mattia, you need to read all his books, the great biblical scholar, Alec Mattia suggests that there is a pattern and in the Psalms of Ascent, and the Psalms of Ascent need to be taken in threes. In threes. And 126, 127, 128 are such a triad. And you can see the connections, if you like. Psalm 126 begins with Zion, and Psalm 128, verse 5, ends with the Lord bless you out of Zion. And Psalm 126, verse 5, speaks about sowing in tears and reaping the fruit, as it were. And Psalm 128 speaks there, verse 2, of you eating the fruit of your labour. So there are these kinds of links there. And similarly between 127 and 128. 127 speaks about unless the Lord builds the house, and speaks as well, verse 3, of children. And 128, you've got your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like, in other words, your children will be like olive shoots around your table. So you can see that kind of connection. You can see what Alec Mattia is getting at. And therefore, we're going to take these three psalms and interpret them in the light of their destinations. That Psalm 128, take 126, 127, 128 together with the fact that they're pointing towards that godly man's house in 128. That's how we're coming at this. And the Psalms of Ascent are basically Psalm 120 to 134 plus two more. And there is this pattern, these triads. And each of these triads has the same kind of structure. The first psalm in each three exposes a situation of distress. Then you come to the second psalm in each triad, and that second psalm usually shows the Lord's power and the Lord's grace to save in that distress. And then the third, therefore, brings us to the theme of blessing and security. So each triad progresses from trouble to safety and joy through the Lord's power and grace. And our triad does precisely that with the theme of the happy house, the happy home as the destination. Marriage's purpose is to produce a home, a happy house. I was reading in the paper yesterday, somewhat secular people saying, well, the best way to have a happy marriage is to live apart. Well, that kind of vitiates what a marriage is really meant to be about. It's meant to be about living together, making a home. So we're going to ask the question, how are we to live out a godly marriage? And we're going to look at these psalms, especially Psalm 128, but look at these psalms together in answering that question about living out a godly marriage. And there will be things that you can pick. This is obviously about marriage, but you may not be married, but there will be things for you to learn here and to pick up. How to live out a godly marriage. I've got 10 fingers and 10 things to say. All right? Let's start, first of all, with Psalm 126. Look at Psalm 126. First psalm in the triad, remember, exposes trouble, distress. Here we see that although the psalmist reflects on the joy, verse 1, of the return from the exile, now things are not good. If you look at verse 4, he's pleading with God, Lord, that was great, but now, Lord, look at us. Please restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. May the water, as it were, of blessing come again. And he's encouraging himself, verse 5, maybe in tears himself. He's saying, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. So with the theme of the home, the family, the marriage in mind, we are reminded to interpret these things as our interpretative key here. With the theme of the home, the family, the marriage in mind, we are reminded that we live in a fallen world. And though we might remember the joy of the wedding day and even perhaps non-Christian friends saying, oh, don't they make a lovely couple? Married person, you need to get real. Marriage takes place in a fallen world. Marriage in this broken cosmos will have its tears. Get real. It will have its tough times. That's where I want to start when we talk about living out a godly marriage. It will have its tough times, and to expect otherwise is not only ridiculous, it's bad theology. We believe in the fall. Marriage, therefore, is not the panacea for all ills that some people make it out to be. You know, some people perhaps are saying to you, some of you single people, well, if only you were married, you know, that would be, you know, giving the impression that everything will be sorted out. And that can be very aggravating for single people. I heard of a single man who was so fed up with this, his old aunts used to dig him in the ribs at every wedding and say, you next. And he said, they stopped doing that when I started doing the same to them at funerals. But the point is not to have unrealistic expectations of marriage. That's my point. Your spouse is not God. Only Jesus can fill that God-shaped vacuum in your hearts. Life has trouble, so learn to pray together, verse 4. Restore, O Lord, our fortunes. Learn to pray together, verse 4. But the main thing is get real. So how to live a godly marriage? First, and this should be the first one up on the thing here, is face reality. Face reality. You live in that broken cosmos. Face reality. So that's what I'm taking from Psalm 126. That's our first point here. Now look on to Psalm 127. Here, there are three things. Verse 1, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Here's life without God, unless the Lord builds. Here's the secular world building their houses, their cities, without God. And it's vanity. It's vain. We see the divorce rates. We see children, quote, hit by an onslaught of stress over exams, pressure to be thin, bullying and sex, said the Telegraph this week. Secular family life is generally a bit of a disaster. Not every one of them, but generally it's a bit of a disaster. Therefore, think. How to live out a godly marriage? The secular world is unlikely to help you, very unlikely to help you. So how to live out a godly marriage? Second thing, find the right friends. Hang out with people who will strengthen your marriage and your faith rather than pulling it down. Find the right friends. And I ought to say this as well. And never, ever take relationship advice from people who have failed to keep their own marriages together. Because you'll find people at work or at college who've messed up, but they'll want to tell you how to run your marriage. Don't listen to them. It's as plain as that, isn't it? So that's number two. Look at verse 2 now of Psalm 127. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves with the Lord. The Lord is the he there. Here again is the secular world. The world immersed in continuous anxious toil in order to make it financially, staying up late, getting up early, pushing themselves to the limit. That's the way of the ungodly world. It's down to me. I've got to make it myself. It's just me. And of course, that brings pressure onto marriages. But the godly person, married or not, knows, first of all, that God is their treasure. God is the one who is the joy of my life. And they know what it is to rest in God. To do their best at work, but commit the rest. To sleep at peace. They know about trusting God for their ambitions. They know about resting in Him. And God has given us a day of rest. So factor in the Lord's day, a day for rest and church. Because Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and laden, heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And Christ is known among his people. So come to church to find rest. And use that day for God, that day of rest, to treasure God. That day of rest to treasure God. And that's a way of stating the material world is there, but God's better. And I'm not going to bust a gut to make it financially when my real treasure is God. God is greater than all that stuff. And yes, on the Lord's Day, have fun and have friends. But pace yourself. Make it a day of rest. Don't let Sunday become a frenzy. And if we all pull our weight in the church, there's no need for church to become a burden. So as we're approaching this business of godly marriage, there's this matter of rest, of taking it like that. How to live a godly marriage. Third, trust God for your ambitions. Factor in God's rest. Factor in trusting Him and resting in Him. So that's the third thing. Look at verses 3 to 5 now. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children, a reward from Him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior. A son's born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gates. Now, there's a contrast now between the beginning of Psalm 127, which is a little bit tilting its attention towards the secular world. Unless the Lord builds the house, it's all vain. But now it's to sons are a heritage from the Lord. It's looking in contrast to the frantic toil and vanity and instability of secular life here. God has blessed and brought strength to the family, added children, added stability, and they're not going to be overpowered by their enemies, verse 5, because they're a strong group, this family. And children that build and strengthen a family are not our achievement, but God's gift. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, a reward from Him. He is the one who opens the womb. And therefore think how to live out a godly marriage. Every good thing I've had in my life is from God. Children's an example, is one example. How to live out a godly marriage? Fourthly, cultivate a culture of thankfulness in your marriage. This applies to anybody, of course. Single people as well as married people, but cultivate a culture of thankfulness. Focus on thankfulness for every good gift the Lord gives you, whether it's children or your sexual fulfillment in each other or your ability to earn enough money to support the family or something completely different. The godly home will be characterized by that focus on thankfulness. Lord, you have been good to us. Every good thing we have is from you. So there are the first four things to say about practically outworking, living out a godly marriage. Face reality. It's not going to be easy all the time. Find the right friends. Factor in God's rest. Focus on thankfulness. Now let's come to Psalm 128. Look at verses 1 and 2. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Why is this home blessed? Why is it blessed? Not because the people there are married, though marriage, of course, is a good thing, but it's not the marriage that brings the blessing. Why is this home blessed? Not because the people are married, but because they are godly. They fear the Lord. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, verse 1. The keys to true happiness lie with your walk with God, not your circumstances. Changing your house, changing your job, changing your dog, changing your spouse even, will not bring lasting joy. The answer to discontent is not a new boss at work, but the condition of your heart. The fear of the Lord, verse 1, is always, according to the Bible, the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Blessed are all those who fear the Lord, who reverence him and live out their lives under his lordship. So fifth, how to live out a godly marriage? Fear God, fear the Lord. Prioritize your devotions. Prioritize time in God's word. And don't just read it to get a sermon. What do you mean to say to somebody? Read it to find out what the Lord wants of you and obey. That's the true fear of the Lord, isn't it? Prioritize your devotions. Marriage needs time with God. Marriage shouldn't squeeze out your time with God. It should make you feel, hey, I need to spend more time with the Lord in order that I might be a blessing to my wife, to my husband, to my family. Because it's through fearing the Lord that our home will be blessed. So prioritize that in your life. And prioritize obedience to God. So that's number five. Look at verse 3. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots round your table. The family meal table is a wonderful, wonderful thing. My wife, who often speaks about parenting and things, she calls the family meal table our four-legged friend. All right? The family meal table should be central to any family, whether you've got children or not. The family meal table is a picture of heaven. And central to family life in Scripture, eating together is an expression, isn't it, of acceptance, of friendship, of fellowship, of love, of enjoying one another. You know, what do you like to do when you've got friends? You say, hey, let's go out for a meal together. Because you're going to sit around the table, you're going to chat together, and you're going to enjoy the meal. And that's right. And it's a way of saying, this is us. We're friends together. And it's a way of the family saying, this is us. We're all accepted. We belong here. And of course, that's why Jesus got into trouble with the Pharisees, because he was eating with sinners. Ooh, they can't be acceptable, surely. Heaven is a feast. The Lord's great banquet. We are accepted in the Lord's house. And our family meal table should be a little reflection of that. Therefore, eat your meals together as a family as often as you can, not in front of the TV, which distracts you from one another. Sit down with one another. This gives time for checking in with one another, laughing together, sharing news, sharing difficulties, praying together too. Nothing knits a marriage and a family together more than good conversation over a good meal. So sixthly, feast at the table. Sixthly, prioritize the family meal table. Thinking about how to live out a godly marriage, this is how to do it. You won't always be able to do it. Understand the pressures of work. You perhaps can't do it as often as you can, but do it as often as you can. Now look at verses 2 and 3 again, together. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots round your table. Verse 2 speaks of fruit of the godly man's labor. Verse 2, you will eat the fruit of your labor. But then verse 3 goes on to speak of his family in horticultural terms, as if they're the fruit. You see? So the picture is of dad kind of like the head gardener. The head of the home, the head gardener, with everyone flourishing under his government, under his care, under his headship. And dad's blessing is to see his wife. And why is he blessed by this? Because he loves to see his wife thriving and his children thriving and being blessed. That's the idea here, isn't it? And this reminds us of the structure, the Bible structure of the family, which was taught here last week from Ephesians 5. The different but complementary roles of husband and wife, equal before God, but different roles. So sooner or later, when you come to think about godly marriage, sooner or later you must sit down with your spouse with an open Bible and figure out who's supposed to do what. And bring that right down to the nitty-gritty. And facilitate one another in pursuing that. The husband loving his wife. The wife respecting her husband. So seventhly, how to live out a godly marriage? Embrace the biblical roles of husband and wife. Facilitate those roles. Help each other fulfill them. Wife, build his confidence in being a loving, sacrificial leader. Husband, make her feel like diamonds and gold in your life. The best thing you've got on earth, because she is. That's how to live out a godly marriage. Follow those roles. Next, look at verse 4. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. Now here we've got a second reference to fearing or reverencing the Lord. But unlike verse 1, this one now comes after having been sitting at the family meal table. It's kind of in the context of we're all together. That's where it comes. Family worship. As often as possible, every day if possible. A good thing. If it's just the two of you, just to pray together for 5 minutes. Doesn't have to be a long, big kind of, you know, get the commentaries out and let's have a half an hour and all that stuff. Just 5 minutes praying together before the Lord. And praying with the kids before they go to school. Do not make it long and boring. Make it short and relevant. Pray about one another's day, one another's problems, one another's fears. And for those of you who have children, when you include the children in that, and as the Lord begins to answer those prayers, those kids will realize, actually, this God is real. We're seeing prayers answered from our family. This is not just something we do on Sunday, some sort of hobby. This God is the living God. So eighthly, a godly marriage makes Jesus Lord of the family explicitly through family prayers. So facilitate family prayers there. Then look at verse 5. We're moving as quickly as we can because I know we've got communion at the end of this. Then look at verse 5. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. Zion, Jerusalem, of course, speaks of God's city, God's temple, God's dwelling place on earth. And Christ, of course, is the ultimate earthly temple where God and man meet. He tabernacled among us, John 1 verse 14. But now, in the light of the cross and the outpouring of the gift of the Spirit, God's church is his temple on earth. God's Spirit lives in each one of us individually and in the gathered church of God's people particularly. His Zion, his new Jerusalem, adorned as a bride for her husband, the church. So in New Testament terms, the Lord blesses us from Zion, verse 5. And very often that blessing, therefore, will come through the local church. He has ordained the local church to be a particular place where he dwells and where we will find him. Few things in life will be as valuable to your life, single person, or to your marriage, married person, as belonging to a strong, biblical, local church under a leadership concerned for your spiritual welfare who will teach you faithfully the Word of God. It's often in a local church that you will find friends who will do your marriage the most good. So, ninthly, join a local church. Fasten on a church. That's the way I've put it. Fasten on a church. Join a local church. And never ever play the family off, you know, and the church off against each other. Always try to bring them together. And largely your marriage will benefit in proportion to how you invest, both of you, in the church. And in particular, perhaps I'm overstating this, but I think I want to overstate it anyway. In particular, never move house to where you won't be able to find a local church. It's never worth it. Instead, work for the prosperity of Jerusalem, the prosperity of the church, and pray for the well-being of the Israel of God, God's people, the church. So fasten on a church. That's my ninth piece of advice from Scripture as we think about living out a godly marriage. And then lastly, a look at verses 5 and 6 again. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. And here we find mention of grandchildren and all the days of your life. Remember, therefore, that marriage is a marathon, not a quick sprint. It's all the days of your life. It's your life's work to build that family for God, to nurture one another for God. God in his sovereignty has called you to that married person. Therefore, tenthly, how to live a godly marriage. Think for the long run. Aim to finish the race right through to the end. And God will be with you. That's the point, isn't it? You see, may the Lord bless... I mean, goodness me, what a big job, you know. But may the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. He will be with you in this marathon. He will be with you in this long run. Through the early days of marriage, through coping with kids, or the sadness perhaps of no kids, into troubles at work, through into retirement and grey hairs, and then looking after each other during declining years, knowing that God himself will be with you as you walk with him every day of the journey, verse 5. And he can and will bless you from Zion as you walk with him on that long journey together. These are 10 pieces of biblical advice Face reality. Find the right friends. Factor in God's rest. Focus on thankfulness. Fear the Lord. Feast at the table. Follow your roles. Facilitate family prayers. Fasten on the church. Finish the long run. Those who have ears to hear, may they hear this morning. Amen.